Christian friends, the Word of God directs us above all things to have a relationship with God through faith in the Son, the Saviour, Jesus Christ. And from your experience over all the years of membership here in Kilnats, and the various ministries you've had here in Kilnats in your lifetime, that has been the same message. The importance of personal faith in Christ, the importance of walking with Christ day by day, the importance of loving the Saviour with all your heart and putting Christ first in your life. Again, I state that very clearly in this book this evening for us all, the importance of faith. But then God's word also makes it clear to us that we are to be considerate and helpful toward those who are less fortunate than ourselves. Yes, faith in Christ is essential, but it doesn't stop there. You and I, in turn, then, must be found to be men and women of great sympathy and understanding and consideration toward those who are less fortunate than ourselves. Now, why I stress the first point this evening in my address is simply because there are a number of very well-meaning people who stress the second aspect of helping others to the detriment of faith. They say, as long as you're a good neighbour, help your neighbour, help your friend, that's all that matters. Not so. Faith in Christ, and then we seek to assist others who are less fortunate. I remind you again this evening of Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 27. There we're told of a young man, a student of the law, teacher of the law, who came forward to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked the question, what's the greatest commandment? Christ said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. That's correct. Then he went on to say, and love your neighbour as yourself. Love your neighbour as yourself. And that means, what I've already said to you, and that's some introduction to my prayer time this evening, you and I always want to be considerate toward those who are in need, those who require help and assistance on the journey of life. Surely our Lord Jesus Christ, while here upon earth, showed his compassion to the many. He was understanding toward those who are blind, lame, sick, in distress. He revealed his spirit. He was full of love, kindness, and understanding towards those who were in need. And that's exactly, friends, you and I ought to have also in our lives, an understanding and appreciation of those who are less fortunate, as we too would try, whatever we can, to aid their situation and to help them where we can. James tells us, for example, in his first epistle, chapter 1 and verse 27. There James says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. And he tells us, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. What does that mean? That simply means you and I, Christian believers, we stretch out the hand of friendship and of love towards those who are in need, those who require our help and our assistance along this way. But then this element of compassion is not merely found in the New Testament, that's clearly to be seen, but the same principle also holds true in the Old Testament. This is something just taught throughout Scripture. For example, in Old Testament times, when a king died, a new royal family came to power, it was common for the new king, new ruler, to seek out and to destroy any remaining members of the previous royal family. He got them together, put them to death. He wanted to make sure, you see, that his throne was secure, that his dynasty would last, and so any sign of opposition was put to death. But in our consideration of the scene of God's word, we're going to see something which was on the contrary to what was the tradition at that time. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 13 verses we read together there, read about Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was the grandson of King Saul and the son of Jonathan. When King Saul died, David became king. And David began to look around for any surviving members of Saul's royal family. David was informed that Saul had a grandson who was lame in both feet as a result of a tragic fall. And so in 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 4, it tells us there what happened. When Mephibosheth was only 5 years of age, his nurse dropped him and he was crippled for the rest of his days. But so it was that this young man called Mephibosheth was summoned to David's palace. And of course, Mephibosheth was only too well aware of what his mission was. I've already told you. Normally, any member of the previous royal family would have been put to death. So you and I can well imagine. Can you imagine this? Mephibosheth, as he came forward to the palace to meet King David, how he must have felt. He would have been full of fear. He'd been terrified for his life. He knew what perhaps lay before him. And so all kinds of thoughts were in his mind, and fear would fill his heart. And that is the background to what normally took place at this juncture of history. But things didn't turn out that way, as we'll see this evening. First of all, we note here, those who are taking notes, there are 4 points to be made tonight. We see, first of all, the protection given to Mephibosheth. King David had no intention of killing Mephibosheth. Instead, he was going to show kindness and mercy toward this young man. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 11, where we read, David said, Mephibosheth shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. We see from 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1 that David showed great kindness to Mephibosheth for John's sake. David was keeping a covenant promise he had made with Mephibosheth's father, Jonathan. And David was going to keep that promise in providing for and taking care of Mephibosheth. Likewise, friends, for ourselves this evening, don't you and I realize tonight that Almighty God has made a covenant promise for us, those of us who are in Christ. He's also made a promise on our behalf. We can say today that because a sinner like David could fulfill that promise, so our God, who is truth itself, will always keep the promises of protection and care for us. And as God's believing children, as men and women this evening who know to love the Lord for ourselves, we have this protection promised us by God himself. Because you see, God cannot deny himself, God cannot be untruthful, and God always remains true to his promises. And what has our God promised you and me this evening? He has promised us eternal life, abundant life, a constant companionship, which is personal and perpetual. He has promised us protection from his hand. And friends, as children of God this evening, isn't that wonderful? Protected, preserved by our loving Heavenly Father. This proved itself, showed itself, we're told, Mephibosheth was given a place of honour at the banqueting table. This would be something similar to being seated at the top table at a wedding reception. What a generous act this was on David's part as he revealed concern for this young man. David showed kindness to him in the exact same way, friends, as God our Father in heaven has shown unlimited and unfailing kindness to you and to me because of our relationship with him through Christ. What a privileged people we are this evening. what protection we experience and enjoy from the hand of God. Isaiah 54 and verse 8 tells us, with everlasting kindness, I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. With everlasting kindness, I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. David's kindness to Mephibosheth serves to illustrate the kindness, love, and mercy of our God to ourselves. Mephibosheth is a picture of salvation by grace through Christ. Mephibosheth did not deserve all he received, except for the fact that David was good to him. And surely we this evening who are believers are the first to recognize that we don't deserve all the goodness that God bestows upon us in our lives. Yet God in his grace and his mercy and his love is pleased to bestow blessings upon us. Oh, what a great God we have. What a loving, caring God we have through Christ. And more than that, friends, more than that, it's all of grace. It's all of grace. Grace is unmerited favour to undeserving. It is kindness to the helpless and the hopeless. God's grace. For those of you who are taking notes, perhaps the following statement might be of help to you. So I'll do it slowly and ask you to take notes here if you can at this stage. I'm saying to you this evening, grace is God giving to us what we do not deserve. Grace is God giving to us what we do not deserve. Whereas, mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. Mercy is God not giving to us what we deserve. And so God in his grace and his mercy has done wonderful things for us. We were brought low and crippled through sin. To the fall of our first parents, we were crippled, spiritually speaking. We were rebels. He's in danger of everlasting rejection. But God in his mercy has redeemed and exalted those who believe in Christ. Paul sums it up in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, where he tells us that we were dead. Yes, friends, we were dead. But we were made spiritually alive through Christ. Then Paul also goes on in Ephesians 2 to tell us that it was all of grace. All of grace. And so it was here. David looked for and found Mephibosheth in a distant place called Lodabar. A place far away. And friends, is that not exactly what God the Lord has done for you and for me? As he searches out and find us far away from him. Far away from him. But again, his grace and his mercy has called us and called us to himself in salvation. How we rejoice in our Lord. How we rejoice in all our Lord does for us. How we rejoice in the protection offered to us day by day. The protection given to Mephibosheth. Then secondly, we note here the position offered to Mephibosheth. The position offered to Mephibosheth. This man, Mephibosheth, sat at David's table just like any one of David's sons. He was now in a position, been recognized and given a place. Friends, how like ourselves? Just like ourselves in our position in Christ. Every child of God has the right to be called a child of God. Isn't that what David said concerning Mephibosheth? He says, just like my sons, just at my table, we as God's children equally see blessing from God's hand. Galatians 3 and verse 26 tells us, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. How does this come about? Well, Paul explains to us in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6 that God redeemed his believing people so that they receive the adoption of sons. Those sons in turn have the right to cry out, Abba, Abba, Father, because they're heirs of God through Christ. Likewise, you and me this evening, as God's children, we too can cry out, Abba, Abba, our loving Heavenly Father. Such is our relationship as sons and daughters of his. The Son of God sought out a degenerate people who do not seek him. He sought out those who are humble, sought out those who would come to him humbly in faith and trust. And so Mephibosheth had to come humbly before the king, come acknowledging the king. And the king accepted him and gave him a rightful place. Think of that, friends, for ourselves. Likewise, you and I have come to the king. We've come humbly. We've come with bowed heads and bowed hearts. We've understood our true situation. And our king, King Jesus, received us, encouraged us, enabled us along the way to move forward himself, to trust him day by day. What relationship we have then as God's children. Great responsibility comes our way too, of course, but nevertheless the blessings are many. In the human realm, children often bear likeness to their parents. It may be in their looks, their voices, gestures, posture, mannerisms. I myself would know one or two children, be they sons or daughters, who are just like their mothers and fathers in miniature. Understandable, of course, in a sense, but they're very like their parents in how they respond to human situations. Likewise for ourselves, friends, in the spiritual realm, there ought to be something distinctly Christ-like in our conduct. How we talk, how we walk, how we act. As God's children, as men and women who have the right to cry out, Abba, Father, we in turn should be Christ-like in our conduct, lives we live, and what we do. Let us then be found true, the business is ours, as God's children. The position offered to Mephibosheth. And then thirdly, we see here the provision made for Mephibosheth. The provision made for Mephibosheth. David sent an invitation and made gracious provision for Mephibosheth. David did all things well for Mephibosheth. David showed forth, I already said to you, great kindness towards Jonathan's son. And friends, this evening, God our Lord has done no less for us. He is a great benefactor, bestowing love and forgiveness upon us, his children. Day by day we're provided for spiritually, provided in our knowledge of our Lord and God. Then we speak after that, we're provided for materially in all our ways. God's provision is abounding and overwhelming. As you also appreciate, of course, that heirs in the world may be disinherited. For example, an earthly inheritance is subject to devaluation. But here's the good news, friends. Our inheritance in Christ can never ever decay or diminish. We can never ever be disinherited, spiritually speaking. As children of God, we are provided for by the one who is Lord of Lords and King of Kings in our lives. And that should bring great reassurance to our hearts this evening. And that's been great reassurance, especially for those who sometimes are timorous, are beginning to doubt their salvation. Never doubt. Your salvation is safe and secure in the Lord. All the land, possessions of Saul were restored to Mephibosheth. Likewise, in Christ, there's restoration and blessing. And this we take courage and find our contentment. Then, fourthly and finally, we see here the presence assured to Mephibosheth. The presence assured to Mephibosheth. In 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 7, David said to Mephibosheth, "You shall eat at my table continually." This would mean that he is sure of the king's presence always being with him. This reminds us that grace not only saves, but sustains and strengthens us eternally. Because you see the promise given here of the presence of our Lord with us, not only day by day, but moment by moment. Always there for us. His presence is there for us, in ups and downs of life, the difficulties of life, the hardships of life, the joys of life. The Lord's presence is always there to sustain us, to strengthen us, and to encourage us. And friends, here this evening, Colonnettes, have you not at various times in your life to date, various experience of life to date, have you not proved that to be the case? Have you not? Well, you ought to have. Because the Lord God has promised his presence for his children at all times. And so we see here that King David could say to Mephibosheth, "I'll provide for you at my table." The Lord also says to us this evening, "I'll provide for you at my table. I can promise you and guarantee you my presence throughout life." Do you remember how the Lord Jesus Christ in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 28 and following, said, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Great promise there in John chapter 10. A promise which holds true this night. A promise which always holds true. The promise which God the Lord gives you to me this evening afresh of his continual presence. Always there for us. And now, friends, let's see how that works out in practice. That means whenever you and I go home this evening, a night's sleep, God willing, go off to work in the morning. The ups and downs of tomorrow's activities may not be smooth running for you. Maybe problems, dilemmas. But remind yourself, the Lord's with you. The Lord is with you all the way. The ups and downs of life, the Lord is there. He has promised his presence to sustain you and to help you. More than that, David said to Mephibosheth in verse 7 there, three very simple words. What did he say in verse 7? Do not fear. Do not fear. Again, I take you back to my introduction. Normally, as I said, a new king would have put to death successors of the previous king. Understandably, Mephibosheth must have been fear and trembling for his very life. David could say to him, "Do not fear." Likewise, our Lord Jesus Christ says to you and to me tomorrow, today, as we face tomorrow, he's saying to us, "Do not fear. Do not fear. I'll not leave you, I'll not forsake you." Again, John 14, first two verses tell us, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." That's what it means. Don't be fearful. Don't be troubled. Rest upon your Lord and he'll see you safely through. God dispels our fears with reassuring words of his continual presence, always with us, carrying us safely through to the end of life's journey. And so we've seen here this evening then from the life of Mephibosheth, a young man who understandably would have been in fear and trembling, but a young man who was reassured by the fact that King David could say to him, "Not be afraid." He'd care for him. He'd provide for him. And Christian friends, the exact same holds true for me and for you. We each one face the future. We know what the future holds. None of us know what the future holds for us. But we can face the future with great confidence in knowing that as the God, the Lord, did great things like Mephibosheth, he likewise do great things in your life and my life. And with that thought in our minds, we then go forward confidently, with joy in our hearts, continue to look to our Lord for strength and for help. I'd encourage the congregation to go home this evening, give some further thought to the sermon of Mephibosheth this evening, and we each one receive much to encourage you in your Christian living for the Lord. Let's be upstanding.